My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to have another teaching, and we're going to be dealing with rightly dividing the word of truth in Paul's epistles. In Paul's epistles. We talked about this once before, overall, the whole scriptures, but we're going to be just dealing with Paul's epistles. We have to know how to rightly divide the word of truth. And the key of this is the word of truth. What is the word of truth? But before we do that, we need to turn to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and just look at verses 15. And this is where it tells us that we have to rightly divide the word of truth. And so everything I'm talking about is based on Scripture. And this is when Paul is talking to Timothy, and Timothy's going to take over here soon, because this is his last epistle that he writes before he is martyred. Okay, let's look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The word of truth. So we need to find out what this word of truth is. So let's turn back to Ephesians. Let the Bible tell us. Turn back to Ephesians. Let God's word tell us. Galatians and then Ephesians. And let's look at verses 13. Chapter 1, verses 13. And it says, "In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." You notice that, what it says? "In whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth." And what's the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. So this is what we're dealing with. We've got to rightly divide this word of truth, which is the gospel. And it's tremendously important, because the churches of the day have not done that. And because they have not done that, many people are not going to be in heaven, because they haven't divided this word of truth the way it should be. Now, we're going to be dealing with the book of Romans. And we're going to also be dealing, we've got to go back to Acts to get some history for it. So let's go back to Acts chapter 28. Let's go back to Acts chapter 28. Now, Paul had just arrived in Rome. He had been on a troop ship or a prison ship or whatever it might have been, but he came into Rome and he was there for about 3 days, and he got an apartment there, and he was chained to a Roman soldier, and he couldn't leave, but he could have people come see him. And it said, just look in verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews." Okay? So he brought the chief of the Jews there. And he set up a time when they could get together with him and all the rest of the Jews that he wanted to bring. And just look at 23. It says, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many of them into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not." So we see that what was Paul preaching to these people? We think he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom? I think so. That's what Jesus preached, the gospel of the kingdom. He wasn't preaching the gospel of grace, because he was expounding this from out of the Old Testament. And the gospel of grace is not found anywhere in the Old Testament. It was a mystery and given to him directly from Jesus about 8 years after Pentecost. So, let's look what the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached. Let's turn to Matthew. Back to Matthew chapter 9. Back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. And then let's Matthew chapter 9. And then we're going to look at verses 35. This will give you an idea what Jesus preached. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But see, he went about to the villages and the cities, and he preached in the synagogues. Were there any Gentiles in those synagogues? No. He did not go to the Gentiles whatsoever. And he couldn't go to the Gentiles because he was here to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. And he could only go to the city of Israel. Look what, we're right here close. Look at chapter 10 and look at verses 5 just across the page. And he just called his 12 disciples. And it says, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into this, any of the city of the Samaritans, enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He commanded them not to go to the Gentiles. See, the Jews had nothing to do with the Gentiles. They were totally a separated group of people, and they were seeds of Abraham, and that's who Paul, who Jesus had to go to, and he couldn't go to Gentiles yet. Give you an idea, just turn to 15 real fast, Matthew 15, and look what he talked to this woman of Cana. And I'm just going to say what he told her. He said, but he answered and said, verse 24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see, Jesus, in his own words, said he was not sent to us whatsoever. He couldn't deal with us until after the cross. After the cross is when he dealt with us. Okay, so let's take in get you an idea. We have an idea. Let's turn back to Romans now. Let's turn back to Romans, and let's look at Romans chapter 16, the last chapter in Romans, and you can see the difference. We got a gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached, and that's also what the disciples preached. Just look what Paul preached. It says now, verse 25, now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel. What was his gospel? That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's what he preached. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. What I'm showing this is that this mystery was only given, this gospel was only given to Paul, and it was never, ever known, ever, until then. And this was about 8 years after Pentecost, see. So, see, Paul could not have been talking about our gospel for the Gentiles when he was talking to, in Romans chapter 9. He couldn't have been. Because, or in Acts, because he was dealing with the law. He was dealing with the prophets. And he was proving that Jesus was the Messiah, see, through the Old Testament. And he could do it. And he spent the whole day and half the night doing it. But he proved it. Some believed, and some believed not. And I think in Romans, when we start talking about this, he's writing these letters to those people there, those Romans there, that believed him. There's no doubt in my mind, those Jewish Romans that believed him. So, okay, let's turn to Galatians, and we're going to see what happened. How this all came about. We find it after about 4, let's look chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, after about 14 years, Paul was out throughout mainly Turkey area. Getting churches put together. But he was having problems because Peter, James, and John's people were coming to his churches and telling them, in order for them to truly be saved, they didn't just have to believe the gospel, they had to be baptized. No, they didn't. I didn't say that. They had to be circumcised. And that they also had to keep the law. And Paul would have none of that. You don't add anything to the gospel. Nothing. Not even baptism. But he could you didn't add anything to it. And so Jesus told him to go up to the conference and meet with the 12 and discuss this and get this thing put together so they can get these two gospels that you're teaching separated. And so here's how he did it. Let's look at verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatever they were, in making no matter to me, God accepted no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. In other words, all this discussions they had, and they had some really quiet discussions, and they were just bound to determine they were going to put Judaism in Paul's church, and he wasn't going to accept it. He said, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So what happened? And when James and Cephas and John, this is Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars and perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the Gentiles, and they would go to the circumcision. So they would leave his churches alone, what you're trying to say, and that they would preach their gospel of the kingdom to the Jews, and Paul would preach the gospel of grace to the church, which we represent today, the gospel of grace. We're not Jews. The gospel of grace. However, Paul had such a love for the Jews, because he was a Jew. I mean, he was the Jew of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. And let's turn to Romans. Go to Romans, and let's go to chapter 9. What I'm going to show you here is from chapter 9, 10, and 11. These chapters deal directly with Paul's relationship with the Jews. There really isn't a whole lot for us. There is learning, but there's sure got to be careful, because he's dealing with the Jews. He's not dealing with the church here. We can get learning from it, but we got to be careful. We don't want to get our doctrine in it. We're not going to find salvation in here for us. And that's why we have to rightly divide the word of truth. Okay, what happened was, this is what it says. Chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness of the Holy Spirit, that I have a great heaviness and a continued sorrow in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, and who are pertaineth to the adoption, and the glory of the covenants, and giving the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom all as concerned the flesh of Christ came, who is over all. God blessed forever. Amen. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Israel. He's talking about the Judaism. And he had a tremendous love for them. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and let's look at 2 Corinthians. Let's look at verses, chapter 11, and let's look at verses 22. Paul was talking. He's talking about the 12 disciples. He says, "Are they Hebrews?" He said, "So am I." "Are they Israelites?" "So am I." "Are they descendants of Abraham?" "So am I." You see, he was a Jew of the Jews just as much as the 12 disciples. See, and he had a tremendous love for these people. And he would do anything he could do, even sacrifice his eternal life with Jesus Christ if they could come to the knowledge of Christ. That's how important it was to him. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And let's look at verses 1. He says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people. You see? He's talking, these three chapters, 9, 10, and 11, he's talking to Israel. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 10. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. It says, it starts off with, "Beloved, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." See, that was his heart's desire. And so what did that mean? That meant when he had an opportunity to talk to the Jews, he wanted them to be saved. And the way the Jews were saved, at that time, they were saved by the gospel of the kingdom. That's what Peter, James, and John and the rest of the 12 preached. And the gospel of the kingdom was based on believing in Jesus. And you see, the Jews didn't believe in Jesus. You see, that's why they crucified him. They said, how could anything good come out of Nazareth? And Jesus came out of Nazareth, see. And they didn't believe in Jesus. And so their salvation during that time, Jesus said, all you got to do is believe in me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, see, shall not perish but have everlasting life. He was pointing to who he was, because he was the Messiah. And he proved it time and time and time again, but they didn't pay any attention to him. All they had to do was believe in him, see, and they'd be saved. And so anyway, Paul is talking now to those Romans, I really believe that were at that meeting. I think he's writing these letters, the ones that believed him, to give them background and to give them strength and courage so that they would be saved, see. And how did he want them saved? Let's look at verses 9. Let's look at verses 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, see, they had to believe in Jesus, you see. They had to believe in him because he was the Messiah. And thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, see, it was paramount that those Jews believed that Christ was raised from the dead. Because, you see, a dead Jew isn't going to be a Messiah. And they know they killed him. They crucified him. They know that. And he would have had to be raised from the dead. And Peter, James, and John says, we were there. We saw it. Over 500 people witnessed his walked on the earth after he rose from the dead. See? And they did everything they could do. But they'd have to believe that. Because how could he be the Messiah if he was dead? But he wasn't dead. He rose from the dead. And he said, if you believe that, you will be saved. And I the reason why we're talking about this, I know a church myself closely that used this statement here we just talked about, verse 9, for salvation. And there's no salvation for the church. There's not one bit of cross there. There's nothing about that Christ died for our sins. There's nothing there that he shed his blood for us. There's nothing in there and that was the reason that Jesus came on this earth, to pay the sin debt for mankind. And that's why our salvation is based on what Christ did on that cross, not who he was. This is for the Gentiles, see. The gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of grace are different. The gospel of the kingdom is what the salvation is, just what he has right here. But the gospel of grace is based on, if you believe that Christ died for your sins and he was buried and he rose from the dead, you will be saved. And you see, there's no cross. There's nothing to talk about that Christ died for your sins on this. Now, we can get learning from it. There's no doubt about that. We can get learning from it. Look what verse 10 says. It says, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You see, and I believe that. I believe that. I think, and for salvation for us, we have to truly believe that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and rose from the dead. This isn't a head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. You truly got to believe that. Just like the Jews had to believe verse 9 for their salvation. We have to believe for our salvation, the gospel. that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose from the heart. I truly believe a heart knowledge. And then also it says unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I truly believe that if you believe the gospel, you need to tell the Lord about it. You don't have to walk down an aisle. You don't have to tell me or anybody else, but you need to tell God about it. You need to say, God, I believe the gospel for my salvation. And you need to say it out loud. I believe that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And when I did that myself personally, the Holy Spirit came on me so fast it was just beyond your imagination. Totally changed my life. I mean, it didn't wait 2 days or 3 days. I'm talking about instantly. Instantly. I found myself 10 hours later still studying the Bible, and I never could do that before. 10 minutes at the most. And then what I learned in 10 minutes, I didn't understand. And what if I didn't understand, I forgot it. I mean, it just didn't stick with me. And I didn't understand it. But as soon as I told God that I believe the gospel for my salvation, and that the gospel, that I, what I believe is that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead, he sealed me with the Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians 1:13. And it happened just boom. And he's been in my life ever since. And I've been studying the Bible ever since. Hours and hours and hours every day. It's just wonderful what God has done in my life. Wonderful. So, let's look on and let's look at Romans chapter 11 and show you what we can get out of this. This is neat. I'm not saying that these three chapters, throw them out of your Bible because they're talking to Jews. No. There's a lot of learning there for us. But just don't go to Romans 10:9 for your salvation, because that's not salvation for you. It's salvation for the Jews. And Paul was talking to the Jews here. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved." Then he showed them how to do it. But that's not the gospel for us. You've got to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. You see, the gospel, the two gospels, the gospel of grace and the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached, and you can't mix them. You can't mix them. We're not saved by believing in Jesus. We're saved by believing what he did on that cross, that he died for our sins, and he was buried and rose from the dead, because it's what he did is what saved us. It's his death on that cross is what saved us, beyond any shadow of a doubt. He paid for our sins, and we can stand before God perfect because of what Christ did for us. Now look what it says in chapter 11. Look at verse 7. Chapter 11, and look at verse 7. It says, "And Israel, when then Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election." What are the election? The election was Peter, James, and John, the disciples, and all those peoples that they talked to that believed this, that Christ was the Messiah. They're the election, and they hath attained it. But the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, or ears that they should not hear unto this day. And you won't find a synagogue anywhere today that preaches that Jesus was the Messiah. They will have nothing to do with Jesus. And they didn't listen to Jesus, and they didn't listen to Paul either. Because if they did, those people, no one continued, see. Because they're just not here. Now, I'm not saying that Jews aren't saved. There are Jews that believe the gospel. And if they believe the gospel like anybody else, they're going to be saved. But there's very few synagogues out there. There is no synagogue as far as I know. And I hope I'm wrong there, but I don't think there is, that preached that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, let's look at verse 25. Look at verses 25. It says, 11:25, Romans. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, that you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel." See, until, that's the time word. Until what? "The fullness of the Gentiles be come in." You see, when the last person on this earth who has been called by God as a believer has believed the gospel we're gone. And we're gone. That means a rapture will happen. And he's going to take us home. And then he's going to deal with the Jews. See? Then he's going to deal with the Jews. And they're going to have to go through the tribulation. And it isn't going to be fun. It isn't going to be fun at all. And in fact, it's horrible. And let me show you. Let's turn in our Bibles to Zechariah. Just go to Matthew. And then the next verse, next book is Malachi, and then Zechariah. And it's the last page of Zechariah. It's Zechariah 13, last chapter, verses 8. And here's what Israel is going to be involved in. It says, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts of it shall be cut off, two parts, and die. And a third part shall be left in." In other words, two-thirds of these people are going to die. Okay? And one-third will be left in. "And I will bring the third part through fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will test them as gold is tested. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." You see, now there's about 15 million Jews in this world. 10 million are going to die in tribulation. And 5 million are going to be saved. That's a lot of people going to be lost. But that's what it's going to be. I didn't say it. The book said it. We need to take and look at one more and just turn and see what happens to those people that are left after the tribulation. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and look at verses 7. It says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." When is that? That's right after the tribulation. And he said, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." If you know not the gospel, you do not believe the gospel for your salvation, this is your lot. And this is awful. But that's what's going to happen. That's how important the gospel is. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that people's eyes, you open their eyes and their hearts so they'll know the gospel and believe the gospel for their salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.